Cody presented lesson four is about God with him, that all things are possible. And occasionally when we do these tandem lessons, sometimes we'll do things on the same subject, sometimes we'll do things on a different subject. And I'm going to be looking at letting go. So Cody established the importance of the fact that if we are close to God, we have Him in our lives, that there is nothing that He can't do for us. And he made some very good examples from Scripture. So as we talked about, the first lesson talked about with God, all things are possible. But what if we don't hold on to God? That's always the caveat. And we've been talking, or at least I've been talking a lot lately, about qualifications of being a Christian. If we want to have God with us, and I think a few lessons ago I talked about this metaphor I was trying to present for you. I said if you're inside of a bucket and somebody lowers down a rope for you and you grab a hold of it, they can pull you out of there. But if you keep letting go of it, you're never going to get out of that. And certainly the person pulling you out of there, if they keep letting go of it, you're going to be stuck. And God promises us that He will not do that, that He'll always hold on to that. So as Christians, as people in the world, we first of all have to reach out for that rope, and then we have to grab a hold of it. We have to hold on to what God's blessings are for us. I was looking over the lessons, and I kept thinking when I was working on this, and I remember doing another lesson called Letting Go before, and it wasn't aligned to the subject that I want to present for you today, so I was going back through my notes. And back in February 27th of 2011 at the other building, I did a lesson on letting go. And at that time, it was cold and it was wintry and icy. And one of the things in my lesson I talked about, a song that had been popular a few years before there about Jesus Take the Wheel. The song talked about the young girl. She was driving through Cincinnati to see family and she hit a rough spot of ice and she basically said, "There's no way I'm going to get out of this. Jesus, take the wheel. I can't do anything here." And even though this lesson is not along those lines, it's almost the opposite of it. Is in that case, we are trying to draw close to God and just trust Him completely, even if we are out of control. And in this, we're looking at just the opposite. We're looking at God bringing us to great heights, but not staying with Him because we're successful. We're going to start off in Jeremiah chapter 17. If you want to follow along, you can. I'm trying to have the passages that I'll be referencing on the board behind me. And from the New King James Version, it says, "Thus says the Lord, cursed, or cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord, for he shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness in a salt land which is not inhabited." So we're talking about letting go of God, letting go of this trust in God. And here, Jeremiah tells us that the person that thinks that way is cursed. Their focus is not in God who can do anything, as Cody presented to us, but their hope, their trust, is in themselves and in those people around them. And they, as he says here, it makes flesh his strength. This idea of a desert or a shrub growing in the desert is certainly a very isolated thought there. The word curse, and we talked about definitions today, so I was smiling when we were going through what the definition of faith was from our Hebrew study as Kyle was doing our review. And I like this. This is not actually from a definition site, but this was a website that I came across, and I like the way they phrased this. A curse is the opposite of a blessing, whereas a blessing is a pronouncement of good fortune based on one is initiated into God's plans. A curse, on the other side, is a pronouncement of ill fortune because one opposes God's plans. Again, Cody talked about, with God all things are possible. So if we step into that realm, we're going to be safe. We're going to be able to have that good fortune from God. We are going to have the blessings as we see in Matthew. But here, cursed is the man who trusts in man. I have a lot of images we're going to get to today, but we should go through them pretty quickly. Matthew 26, verse 24 says, "No one can serve two masters." I'm going to have some passages up here that we've looked at many times before, but as is the case for me lately, pay attention to the underlying words. No one person, that's me, that's you, there's not two of you and every person out there, no one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And we're going to be looking at three aspects of this idea of letting go. We're going to be looking at the idea of just pride. We're going to be looking at the aspect of wealth. And we're going to look at the idea of just what gratifications people get. So one person serving two masters, that's not even possible. You're going to be led in one direction or the other. What is mammon? We've talked about this before. Mammon is often described or defined as wealth regarded as an evil influence or a false object of worship and devotion. You know, the world sometimes likes to twist the idea of money being the root of all evil. We've had some really good lessons brought up here, and we've studied this in class, that it's not money being the root of all evil. It's what? It's the love of it, right? This passage or this definition really does the same thing. Wealth regarded as a false object of worship and devotion is something we are infatuated with. Keep going back up to the top. Keep focusing on that. The idea of letting go for God, for something else. Proverbs 21, verse 2 says, "Every way of man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart." And we'll see that as we go through here. I tried to confirm or to get example that this was Travis Pastrana. I'm not sure that it is. I think it is, but I'm not positive. But if you've ever watched, we used to refer to it, at least in my age, your group, MX or motocross was pretty much an outdoor sport. It was basically like BMX with motorcycles. Now it's all arena cross because all these events happen in these big arenas. And one of the things, one of the most significant acts of bravery for a lot of people, and I think Travis Pastrana, a motorcycle racer, was one of the first ones to do this. Anybody know what that what that's called when you fly like that? I see one person that knows it. They're mouthing it. Superman is what that trick is called. And the reason they call that, on the comic hero of DC comic Superman, what does he do? Doesn't he fly on his own initiative, on his own power? The amount of time that it actually takes for a rider to do this is very, very quick. They get up as high as they can and try to let go and then grab a hold of that bike as quickly as they can. But in this moment here, it looks like this person can just do this all day. And this is a very big arena. I can't remember which one it is, but they are literally at the very top of this. Easily, probably 80 feet in the air, if not 80 feet, 60 feet for sure. They're flying above all these thousands of people gathered to watch this. The only way that they're going to get down safely is if they're on that motorcycle. That motorcycle, in this case, is their surety. That is their safety. That's the device that has brought them up to these great heights. And so this idea, apply this spiritually. God brings us up to great heights in our lives. He lifts us up. He takes us to places where we have not been before. But the tendency for a lot of us is to get up there, feel so confident that we let go of God. Say, no, I'm up here. Look at this. And we're going to look at Nebuchadnezzar here in a little bit. But just let that idea stick in your brain there. Just people that do these things. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 12-13 says, "Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." Again, I told you that many of these passages will be very familiar. "No temptation is overtaking you except as such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above what you are able or beyond what you are able, and with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it." So some of these passages I've gone through, and I was looking at far too many YouTube videos trying to get some stills there. This idea of letting go. Now, what did we just talk about? Well, we said, "Let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." That's going to be a part of this, but the other idea there is this idea of letting go. There's a man, I don't know if you can see it there, it's very blurry up there, probably maybe a little bit better than what I see on my screen, but there's a man on that ship that's about to take a step off. It's a good-sized ship, it's a sailboat. I don't know how big, it's probably about a 60-footer. It's bigger than anything you're probably going to see over at Caesar's Creek. There's two things that's happening there as far as letting go. First of all, have any of you ever driven a boat before? Hands, if you don't mind. Okay, a few hands. I have. One of the things that I did with my in-laws and their family was to drive a boat. One of the first things I learned is how to back the engine up as you're coming in. Going backwards while going forward helps you to slowly approach the dock. You do not want to do what I've seen people do at Caesar's Creek many times, is get up there and just jam the boat up into their trailer, or do what this guy does, a little bit too much speed. The first letting go that this person did, whether it was this man or the captain, was not planned properly. They did not get to this point, and these are concrete steps. Just want to remind you, this is a fiberglass vessel, very expensive concrete steps. This guy's going to jump off here and stop this boat. Now watch the progression. I don't have a video for you, but so he gets a little closer. What's happening there? Where's his foot? Where's the step? He's missing it, right? His plans for where he wanted to put is letting him fall. It's letting him go. And you see, he just continues to fall and falls down the step, and that boat just keeps on coming and coming and coming. And in the video, the boat slides against the concrete and is running up the rail. Now, thankfully, I've tried to get all these images to represent people that were not killed or seriously hurt. Remember the passage that we went up to earlier? Let him thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. Well, that guy did fall. He did not stand where he expected to. And as I pointed out too, someone had not planned the direction and speed which that boat needed to be going in order for him to hop off there. Now, when you do have a big vessel, you do want to hop off. And normally, if you're going slow enough, you can actually move that vessel into position and tie it down. But notice what I've underlined here. With the temptation, we'll also make a way of escape that you can bear it. In this case, that's exactly what happened. That guy missed the step that he was going for, but managed to fall down the staircase, and he was able to bear it. But obviously, he's caught on tape, so people know about that. Continuing on in 1 Corinthians 10, some things that we leave out of here from time to time. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. How many times have we included that with all this passage that we read? What does therefore mean? We've talked about this. I'm thankful that this congregation is very good about paying attention to that. So idolatry is a focus on anything that's not God. So with this, people are taking this idea of standing on things that are not God, and God is trying to protect them, but because they have let go of Him, they are getting into dangerous territory. So another thing we talked about, I think the song that Glennon just read talked about the peace of the river, the safety of the river. I'm trying to get some of these metaphors in here, and they were useful to me. Some of them may be a little bit of a stretch for you. But one of the things that we can take consolation in is a calm river. Now, a water skier, which I can water ski, I can slalom and those kind of things, you don't want to go out onto a lake or to a river or any wide body of water that's tumultuous, that's got waves and stuff on it. I've done that too, and that's usually a cause for injury or definitely not being able to stay up. They typically only do boat jumps or ski jumps when the water is smooth, and that person, they go out one way and they swing back around at high speed, just using that the balance of that boat to pull them across the water, and then they hit these ramps and it brings them up into the air. And this is the idea of the same thing as a human being, or especially as a Christian, God pulling us, and we can go anywhere, we can move around. But the problem is, and what happens to me maybe happens to many of you, you feel comfortable with what you got a hold of. You feel comfortable with that speed, and you want to go faster and faster. And this idea, you think about Peter, and when Jesus was walking on the water, and he just didn't even give a thought. He wanted to jump out there, and when he did so, he was afraid. Some of the songs we talked about the stillness. So they come off this ramp, and they're flying up in the air. Again, the only reason they're able to do this is because they're holding on to something that's tied to that boat. That boat, again, using the spiritual application, is when we're holding on to God and He's carrying us through things. What we do with that moment is up to us. In this case, this person's flying through the air. It says, "Well, you set your eyes on that which is not, for riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away like an eagle towards heaven." And that person there is flying like an eagle towards heaven. But we can get, whether it's idols or riches, sometimes the things that we're after, we're using the momentum that we have with God, and we're going in a direction that's not aligned with Him. I thought of this song, and it was a song that I used to like quite a bit. Some of the words and the meaning of the song probably aren't worthwhile, but for this picture here, some of you may remember the song from maybe 15 or so years ago. It said, "Don't go chasing waterfalls. Stick to the rivers and the lakes that you're used to." And it says that, if I can read my writing, "I know that you'll want to have it your way and not," I can't read my writing there, but the idea is that some people just are not satisfied with doing what is safe, what is doing with trying to be in a protected place. They want to go where the waterfalls are. And we see a lot of people online doing that. It's not just a body of water that's attractive. It's that way up there, look up, way up there, that big waterfall. And you see people sometimes trying to climb up there. Well, that's where the danger is. That's the risk up there. And so just like a person flying through the air, they've got everybody looking at them. So why we watch skiers jump is because we look, hey, that is somebody doing something I just can't imagine myself doing. Well, spiritually, what is the result of that? Which direction are you heading? and eventually they'll come crashing down. We're going to look at Nebuchadnezzar's dream here in Daniel in just a moment, but one of the things I want to remind you of as we get into Daniel chapter 4, twice already, Nebuchadnezzar, first of all, has had this dream. Some of it he didn't understand, but some of it seemed to be pretty clear when he was describing it. Daniel gave him the interpretation of the dream and underscored something that Nebuchadnezzar should have recognized. And we'll see this in the text from Daniel chapter 4, starting with verse 28. All this is after the dream was prophesied, after he had the dream, and 12 months later, it says, "Then all this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar at the end of 12 months. He was walking about the royal palace of Babylon. The king spoke, said, 'Is this not great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty?'" This idea of this person being lifted up. One of the tallest places that we can see is typically a bridge, a very high point where people can focus on that. I don't believe that this is in West Virginia, even though it does look like one of the crossings there of the New River Bridge, but it is a very high area. And again, just like the ski jumper, like the person jumping off the motorcycle, way up high is where people are looking. People like to be impressed with things that are above them because that's what they want to do. They want to reach those heights. Continuing on in Daniel chapter 4, while the word was still in the king's mouth, so he's just looked at all this thing he had and said, "How great I am because I've built this," a voice fell from heaven, "King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you. And they shall drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beast of the field, and they shall make you eat grass like oxen, and seven times shall pass over you until you know that" what? We were just talking about a lofty person, someone looking up into the clouds, "that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he chooses." And again, this is what I referenced earlier. The king dreamed this, Daniel said it was going to happen, and he still was looking at himself and his own power. "That very hour the word was fulfilled concerning Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from men and ate grass like oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hair grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. And at the end of the time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven." So this person that was so above everybody else has been brought down to the very bottom, and they look back up to heaven, and he says, "His understanding returned to me." When did it return to him? When he lifted his eyes to heaven. "And I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom from generation to generation." We talked in class today about the fact that this idea of recognizing God and recognizing the importance of who God is so key to us understanding. "All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing," continuing on from what Nebuchadnezzar is stating here, "he does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And get this, no one can restrain his hand or say to him, 'What have you done?'" So again, we've got this very high place these people are looking up to. You know, sometimes when we're thinking that we'd like to do something exciting, we do some crazy things. And a lot of us like to watch people do this. This is bungee jumping at the top of this bridge. So you're at a very high place, just like Nebuchadnezzar was. He's looking out over all he's created, and he feels almost infallible. He's not worried about what could happen to him. He's so happy that he's up there. And this person's happy that they're up there. They have people looking at them. Most of the time when people are doing these bungee jumps, traffic stops and they watch them. People down on the river are in rafts and they look at them and they're like, "They're crazy." And they just stop and take a moment to do that. So this person jumps off. Nebuchadnezzar, "Look, I can fly. I can do anything. Look how great I am. I'm jumping off here. Everything's safe. I keep on going down. I'm almost down. Look how far that bungee cord is stretched." Uh-oh. What happened there? This case, this video shows that cord snapping. That woman jumped from the top of the bridge feeling in complete control because she was sure that those people around her were going to take care of her. That trust, like the first passage we started with, that trust in flesh, that trust in humanity was going to save her. And just like Nebuchadnezzar, she jumped off at the very heights and was brought down. Now again, I said she didn't die. She did land in the water. Thankfully, it slowed her down enough that she just made a splash dive. But way down there is a big splash that woman made there. And right there on the right-hand side of that splash, you can see the bungee jump bouncing back up to the top. People are still watching this event, but it didn't go as they planned, and it certainly didn't go the way that woman planned. Continuing on, at the same time my reason returned to me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and splendor returned to me. My counselors and nobles resorted to me, and I was restored to my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor me, right? That he was so happy in himself? No, he said he honored the King of heaven, all of whose works are truth, his ways are justice, and those who walk in pride, he is able to put down. Just like that woman that fell there. In Romans chapter 13, it says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Galatians 5, starting with verse 16, I say, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the lust of the flesh against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. One of the things that we typically do when we think about lusting is this idea of being attracted to somebody that you can't have, wanting them so badly. Lust is just when you want to fulfill your senses. You want to have it in your life. You want to have it in your hand. You want to be part of it. You want to do something, and it's in constant contradiction to what you want from God. You're letting go of the important things and reaching for something else. You cannot put something in your hand if it's already full. That's the idea that God wants us to have, always holding on to the spiritual. But what's happening is people are sitting it down and saying, ooh, that's pretty, going after those things. I know there's a lot of NASCAR fans. I was disappointed I didn't see Mike with us today, because he could probably tell you exactly when this was, the time of day it was, and what soda he was drinking or anything else. I think this is Rusty Wallace. If not, you can correct me later. This idea of letting go. One of the most important things when you're driving a race car is for the tires to be planted on the road where you want them to be. This idea of this pathway around a racetrack is very much like the pathway of life that we all face. And that when we're in a good place, we can have confidence that we'll do well. When we are trying a little too hard or relying on ourselves a little too much, bad things happen. So in this case, this car is driving by. I'm sorry for the video quality. It's horrible. I'm catching still moments as this car comes by. Some passages to think about. Jeremiah 6:16 says, thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths where the good way is, and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. If you've ever watched NASCAR, and they'll talk about this all the time, they say, oh, they've got some really good rubber there. They're trying to stay high, or they're trying to stay low. What are they talking about? Well, they're saying there's a place on the track where most of the traffic is going by, and the rubber from the tires is sticking to the asphalt, and it makes a very safe pathway for those racers. When they get on the outside, there's little rubber balls that come off those tires that cause people accidents. And that's exactly what this passage is talking about. There is a place that you can get to that's a little easier to pass, and it looks good, but it's dangerous. Jeremiah 18:15, because my people have forgotten me, so this idea of letting go, they have burned incense to worthless idols, and they have caused themselves to stumble in their ways. This idea of the pathway again, and we're talking about this racetrack. From the ancient paths to walk in pathways and not on a highway. So this car is going around. Well, you can see that line there. It tells you that that would be the straight area, and you can see 00 here is starting to not go straight, even though he's doing over 180 miles an hour. And then that is really not straight. So what's happening here? That car is letting go. It's letting go of the road. The tires are coming disconnected. And when that happens, it doesn't stop. What happens? It runs into the top of the wall. The car begins rolling. It's smoking. It's on fire. You can see the flames coming out there. The car continues to roll. It probably rolls about 12 or so times, tumbling, flying through the air. I like that picture there. There's a guy standing on his camper right up by that fence and watching that car just come flying apart. And then there's another person just down the road where the car finally stops, and he's just like, oh, I just can't believe what happened. All that happened to that driver, and it probably has happened to many drivers, because those tires let go. They were trying just a little bit too much to have what they were after and not maintaining safety. They had let go. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 and 2 says, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved. If what? Okay, all these things I just said, these are the qualifications I keep talking about. If you hold fast to the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. So he said, I preached them to you, you received them, that's where you stand, and you're even being saved, if. That if is a big word, even though it's only two letters long. If you take all these things, and you got them in your hand, you don't let go of them, then that was the only way that they would qualify you. And this was the image, this idea that I was trying to convey from the very beginning. A little creepy, but I was looking for images of people jumping from airplanes. Because one of the things that always impressed me, when you see a person jump out of the airplane, for a moment, they continue to do the same speed that airplane does. But after a while, the airplane continues on, they're not connected to it, and so their momentum slows and slows and slows. In this case, and I found apparently they're not the only ones, there's a group of people that like to do this, jump out of old B-17 bombers, out of the bomb bay. So you see that woman back in the back there in pink, there she is again. Somebody had just jumped out below her, and she is jumping out of a flying B-17, falling down. She does have a parachute on. But at this moment, you see that she's almost in alignment with where she came out of that box. But she's let go. The vehicle that's pulling her through the air is her safety. It's her protection. And she's left that. She is let go. And again, this idea of spiritual application, God can take us anywhere, but as soon as we let go, we are completely on our own. This other picture, and it creeps me out a little bit more to see that picture, that's the cameraman jumping back down because he wanted to get the picture of the woman coming out of the doorway there too. You know, for an airplane this size to fly, it's easily doing a couple hundred miles an hour, probably even faster. And so that person is flying through the air at the same speed, a couple hundred miles an hour, cutting through the air. They may feel invincible now. People are looking up to them, but they have let go of the trust and security that they had. 1 John 2:15 says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, and the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world." Going back to that idea of the hand. I've got God, all these other things I'm not going to be bothered with. But wait, I put God down, and now I've got the love of the world, the lust of the world, the flesh, the pride of life, and all these things. Again, the idea of letting go, and this certainly it should be something that we all fear. Whether we talk about a racer having their tires leave the asphalt and causing them to be in jeopardy, or we think about maybe in this case, we're going to be looking at two letting goes. One, a part of a car being let go from the car body, but also control being lost because of that. So here we have somebody that's got a dash cam. They're driving on some highway that I didn't even bother looking up. They're right beside this white Ford van. I believe it's a Ford van. And it looks pretty normal there, doesn't it? When I switch the picture, does anything look different? How many of you like to drive on three wheels with your four-wheel drive or four-wheel vehicle? Not many of us, right? Does it work well when you have a tire going faster than your car? No, it does not. What's happened here? That tire has let go of that vehicle, or you can spin it around and say that vehicle has let go of that tire. There are wheel lugs and nuts that are supposed to be put onto that tire to hold it fast. And it will not come off if it's done properly, if it's secure, if it's held tight. But if it's not held tight, it comes off there. And what happens? Well, in this case, this person's still driving at speed. Obviously, the van, if you can see that there, sparks are flying out because of the rotor is dragging the ground. It's not able to steer. It's out of control because that wheel was let go. And on top of that, there is now an obstacle for other people to be aware of. This person, see that tire is bouncing off the guardrail, and then it goes on the other side, and it continued to roll all the way down the road for many feet. 1 John 2:15 again, the world is passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. So this idea of this world ending, this world is passing away, it will have a terminal ending. And that's something that one of the reasons why we have faith. We talked in class today with Kyle Estes, what is the definition of faith? And we tell us, well, we all know we're going to die. We talked about that as one of the questions he had. It's appointed man once to die, or to live once, basically, and then the judgment. When is that judgment going to be? We don't know about that. But as we are looking at some of these images of things letting go, sometimes these kind of things can affect where our terminal ending will be. In this case, another person's driving down a highway, and there's traffic coming on them. And as this camera goes along, why has that car got smoke rolling out from behind it? And I don't know what's happening there. It didn't seem that they blew their engine or anything like that. That looks an awful lot like what happened to that van we just looked at. Uh-oh, something's going on ahead of me. This guy just locked his brakes up and he's sliding sideways. There's a big puff of smoke, and I don't know what that is bouncing over top of that van, but that car that was smoking's long gone. I just passed it many, many feet ago. So what's happened here? Another situation of being let go. Okay, well, that's starting to look like a tire, and oh my goodness, that's getting close. That's right in front of me. I'm at speed, and I was not expecting this, and now what do I do? What can you do if you're doing 60 or 70 miles an hour and a wheel and a tire are flying straight at your windshield? You can see the shadow there. You can see the smoke still coming off the wheel where it came off the car. Right before it hits the window, right before that camera could not record anymore, it was a very important moment for that person. They didn't die, but it could have been death if it had been in the wrong spot. Almost all of us that have been driving any time have faced something that could have come out very badly. Some of us have lost friends because things had gone badly. In this instance here, it shows how dangerous it is to let go of the surety and the security of where you're supposed to be. That tire and that wheel are supposed to be on a vehicle bolted down and secure, safe and trustworthy. It makes that van or that vehicle, whatever it is, safe. In this case, this car is hit, the window's busted out, the camera is knocked out, and that's the end of that wheel, that's the end of that windshield, and probably, if I'm not mistaken, that car was totaled there. So I got an overlay that we've already read, Jeremiah 17, 5 and 6 again. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord, for he shall be like a shrub in the desert, and shall not see good when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness. And again, we read this passage too. This world is passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. This morning we have the chance to do what Cody said. We have the chance to go to God and know that God can do anything for us, that he is our protector. There is nothing too hard for him. The passages that he cited and some of the things we've even talked about in class teach us that God is where security is. The problem that I face, and I've brought this up many times, some of all of us face, is as Christians, sometimes we are so close to God, he lifts us up, and we use that moment to be happy about how successful we are. And when we have that success, we forget about it. It's what happened to Solomon, happened to many of the leaders in the Old Testament. So as we turn to the song that was selected for our invitation, if you have something that we'd like to share or would like to become a Christian, please let that be known at this time.